From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 19th day of October, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, USDA today has confirmed a case of H1N1 in a show pig at the Minnesota State Fair. More on that story a bit later, and on some of the good quality reasons to get into the bean field first during this very late harvest season. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. And it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of listener-supported public radio from Illinois Public Media and the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Listener support means we'd like you to dial this number right now with your financial support at 217-244-9455.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
Here the way the numbers settled in Chicago on this Monday afternoon. Futures like this from the soft red winter wheat pit, $5.17¾, up 19. March at 536½, up 18¾, and the May at 548, up 18. December corn at 386¼, 14¼ higher. March at 398, up 14¼, and the May at $4.07, up 14½. July 414½, up 14, and September futures $4.19¾, up 13¾. November soybeans, $9.96¼, up 18¾. January at $10.05, up 18½. The March, $10.03, up 17¾. And May beans at $9.98, up 15¾. July futures, $9.97, up 14¾. Bean meal futures, $298.30, up 3¢. January at $294.60, up $2.60. December bean oil on the afternoon, $37.59, up $65. The Jan at $38.03, up $65. October live cattle, $84.70, 60 cents higher. October feeders at $94.80, up 25 cents. And December lean hog futures at $54.05, down 5 cents. Hey, remember that we're in the middle of our fund drive, and this is publicly supported radio from Illinois Public Media. Dial 217-244-9455 with your support now. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. November contract, $79.61, up $1.08. November ethanol at $1.88¼, up 4. Natural gas at $4.85, that's 6¢ higher. The RBOB at $1.98¢, 0.3¢ higher. November diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.04¢, up $0.01¢. And propane futures, well, they just don't look like they're the right numbers at the moment. Gold futures at $1,057.30, up $6.60. The Dow over 10,000 at 10,099 points, just about 104 points higher. And the U.S. dollar at 75.36 is down 0.23 on the day. CRB index at 279.65, that's 3.55 higher on the afternoon. Of course, we would like you to dial in right now with your pledge of financial support to this radio station in Illinois Public Media. Just a quick update of the numbers. Just before we went to the bottom or the top of the hour, we had raised $108,452. And now we're up by about $500 on that one. So thank you to all those folks who called in their pledge. But if you have not in support of agricultural programming just yet, please do that. The number to call is 217-244-9455. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. Tonight, variable cloudiness, rather, ranging from clear in the far south to mostly cloudy in the northwestern parts of Illinois. Lows will range from 42 in eastern Indiana to 50 in the southwestern parts of Illinois. Tomorrow, intervals of clouds, some sunshine, a chance for a few showers in the north. Highs will range tomorrow from 60 in northwestern Illinois to 72 in the southwestern part of the state. The extended forecast says warmer temperatures and dry weather during the first half of the work week will give way to the wet pattern for the end of the week. More on the agriculture weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Tom Testel and Morris at 815-941-2184. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You are listening to the Closing Mark Report from publicly funded Radio Illinois Public Media on the University of Illinois campus. On the line with us today, Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and is here to help us take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural futures. This is a good day to talk to us, Kurt. How are you?
Good. Yep, Monday.
It is another. You know, the last three Mondays, is this right? The last three Mondays you've been on, and it's been higher. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm afraid my luck might be running out here as we move down the road. So let's milk it for all we can here, Todd.
Okay, so you probably listened to part of Commodity Week, and I know I've asked you this question before, but the idea is that there is a marketing gap. I called it Mind the Gap over Commodity Week between the end of the marketing year and the real start of harvest, because we're running out of both corn and soybeans that would be in supply, or the old crop, and that will have pushed the market higher. We see that again today. How much longer do you think producers have to look at higher prices, up, what, 70 cents since the beginning of September, I suppose, in corn now? And do they need to take advantage of that in some way in cash sales?
Oh, over the short term, we feel we need to get caught up. And if a guy is 75-80% sold, I would not recommend cleaning out the bin. But I know there's a lot out there that has very little on the book. So, yes, we would definitely use this strength in here to make some sales and get caught up to where you want to be, because, believe it or not, there is harvest activity taking place, and we're going to have a few days here to get some inventories sent to town, for say. We're not going to have a big harvest week as a whole, but we're going to have enough harvest activity here to fill the pipeline, and so we look for basis levels to back off here. Then also, too, the buying that we've seen here last week and this week is speculative in nature, and those speculative buyers could turn speculative sellers here at some point in time.
And so that would mean producers ought to take advantage of this time for corn. Anything they ought to be doing for soybeans, other than the recommendation all season long, is because, you know, the price of nearby November beans is as good as it is in the deferred contracts, that they should go ahead and make cash sales there too.
Yeah, we feel, you know, like on the corn, you got a bin, you might want to take the risk of putting in the bin and hedge and capture some of the deferred carry. But beans, there's not a whole lot of carry there. The market wants the beans up front here, and we like moving them and replacing them. We don't like moving them and waiting for a break and to replace them. We like to do it all at the same time. The thing on beans is that China, they've been a huge buyer. They've got a lot of beans on the book. We've got the biggest bean sales commitments that we've ever seen. They could turn to a point now where they might wash these sales out, or could see some cancellations. Also, too, H1N1 starting to flare up again. So there's several things that could develop here where the risk could be back to the downside. So we like managing risk and taking advantage of this market strength we've seen here over the last few weeks.
USDA will have its crop progress report out at 3 o'clock this afternoon. What might it show, and what would be a danger sign for you in terms of percentage gained or garnered over the week, today, or in the future? How are you watching that particularly closely? I assume you are. And what numbers might pique your interest?
Well, on harvest progress, last week corn was 13% complete. The trade sort of dialed in to 18% to 23% complete. Bean harvest last week was 23% as a nation, and the trade's looking for 31% to 35% complete. I don't know if this is this week's numbers, but I think next week numbers will be a little bit more important, since we've got several days of clear weather to sort of give us an idea of where we are on harvest progress as a nation. We kind of shine away from the total harvest number to, more importantly, whether or not the yields are holding up here as we move along, and whether or not the quality is improving or declining. I think that's going to be more important than harvest progress. You got to remember, there's guys out there who don't really get done with harvest clear into the winter sometimes, and there's always something there to take out of the field. So I think the focus is going to quickly shift us to see if the yields hold up and the quality holds up.
All right. For those, just as a reminder, if you're really interested in those harvest numbers, we're going to hold off just a bit. Those numbers come out at 3 o'clock Central Time. We're going to hold off posting our mobile analyst portal. That's our phone line where you can get some of the analysis and the closing market report numbers. Actually, the morning analysis and opening the opening numbers, too. We post those at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. Today, we're going to wait just a bit, and we'll put the numbers from USDA's crop progress report in that this afternoon. The number to call for that is 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. Again, it's 333-3434. One other number we want you to call, though, right now. We'll post that a bit later with USDA numbers, but we'd like to call, have you call 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL right now with your financial support for this program, the Closing Market Report, Illinois Public Medium. Dave Dickey, Director of Agricultural Programming, is with us this afternoon, Kurt, and he's going to tell us some of the good reasons why and where we stand at this point, too. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Todd, and I want to give a big Illinois Public Media tip of the cap to a few people, including Maralia White, Karen Linder, John Chandler, Heidi Weatherford, and Virginia and Edwin Gordon. These are just a few of the people that are stepping forth for the Dave Dickey Challenge. This morning I said that if we heard from 41 callers by the time the drive closed, which is tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, I would contribute $250 out of my back pocket. Boy, those are some wrinkly old bills in there. They don't come out very easily. I'm to the left of Jack Benny, I'm afraid. 217-244-9455. When we hear from 41 people, we've heard from 8 so far. That means we need to hear from 33 more. But the better reason to give is because you'll be supporting a great service that does so much for you on a daily basis in terms of the type of analysis that Kurt is giving us this afternoon, helping us understand whether or not now is the time to do something with cash as we look at test weights and all the other great things that Kurt has been talking about. We do this 6 days a week, 7 if you include market-to-market on TV. 217-244-9455. Todd, imagine if we didn't have this service.
Well, if we didn't have this service, it'd be pretty hard to find. It's really hard to duplicate this anywhere else. And we hope that it's important to you, important enough, in fact, that you dial in now at 217-244-9455. Dave and I haven't talked about the number yet, but we like $100 or $120. If you can give more, that's great. If you need to give less, that's fine, too. The important thing is that you dial in at 217-244-9455. You can simply pledge your financial support, pay with check later if you'd like, or do it by Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. The important thing, Dave, is to dial in at 217-244-9455.
And great premiums if you give $120. There's that L.L. Bean Wreath, $175, the Hightower Market Reporting Guide.
And back to Kurt Kimmel now. Kurt, thanks for staying on the line with us this afternoon. I know you've been an important part of our programming content for decades here now. I think it's decades, isn't it, Kurt? Have you been here longer than that?
Boy, it's been a long time.
I think
it's
the late
80s.
And we do appreciate what you do and the fact that you go out with Dave Dickey at night on some of those ag panels. Often you're there. And it's really important that folks get your view and other views of the marketplace to help them make decisions about what they're going to do with their crop, I think. So, again, thank you very much. And, folks, if you'd like to dial in with your financial support, you can do that now at 217-244-9455. I know that you like to talk about the livestock just a bit as we usually close out. What do you see in those numbers for the day?
Well, we felt the livestock sector held together fairly well, especially the hog complex with the news out there. The livestock sector has been quite a challenge here this past year. We've seen the producer in general really get hammered here on cost of inputs. A lot of them's taken it on the chin. We've seen some liquidations here. As far as price goes, we feel the meat sector is going to see continued price appreciation was a move into 2010 on a smaller number. And also, too, with these world economies and the U.S. economy turning around, we feel demand is going to be fairly strong. So we're quite optimistic. The livestock sector, we feel if you're one that likes to speculate, one that likes to put down $500 or $1,000 and let it ride, I'd put it on the livestock sector, Todd.
All right, or put it on WILL and the Closing Market Report, Illinois Public Media, but I think that's not speculating.
Well, I think that's a good investment because when you compare what you offer and what else is out there, there is no other information source as good as what you guys provide. And basically, if we don't have your support, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Silence.
That's it. Thanks much. I appreciate it, Kurt.
Take care, guys.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He's out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Three more phone calls coming in support of the Dave Dickey $250 challenge. Those just in the last few minutes. My big thanks to Rennie and Charles Ehler, as well as Alan Brewster and Mr. Charles Scott, the latest three to say yes. Let's get into Dave's back pocket for $250. 30 calls to go on that challenge at 217-244-9455. You be the next to whittle down that number. We do it one phone call at a time. If you're in your combine, stop at the end of the row, get on that cell phone, and call 217-244-9455.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Just one ag news story for the day. USDA has confirmed the 2009 pandemic H1 influenza virus was present in a Minnesota fair pig sample. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack today announced that USDA's National Veterinary Services Laboratories has confirmed the presence of 2009 pandemic H1N1 influenza virus in a pig sample collected at the Minnesota State Fair, submitted by the University of Minnesota. Additional samples are being tested. He says, we have fully engaged our trading partners to remind them that several international organizations, including the World Organization for Animal Health, have advised that there is no scientific basis to restrict trade in pork and pork products. Secretary Vilsack says people cannot get this flu from eating pork or pork products and that pork is safe to eat. The infection of the fair pig does not suggest infection of commercial herds, says USDA, because show pigs and commercially raised pigs are in separate segments of the swine industry and do not typically interchange personnel or animal stock. USDA continues to remind U.S. swine producers about the need for good hygiene, biosecurity, and other practices that will prevent the introduction and spread of influenza viruses in their herd, and encourage them to participate in USDA swine influenza virus surveillance program.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Up next, more on why this wet, late harvest could have a pretty good-sized impact on the quality of the soybean crop. Wet weather during the harvest season does impact the quality of soybeans. That's because they're more open to moisture damage, says University of Illinois Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger.
Well, beans are a lot more open to the atmosphere than corn is, and so they'll swell when it gets damp for a few days, and then they'll shrink back down. It doesn't do wonders for quality. It's good that it's been cool, which probably keeps disease entry down a little bit. We also have had some concerns about the possibility of shattering. But shattering in soybeans usually takes place weeks after they're mature. Some of our fields have been mature for weeks. It also tends to be much more severe when we get some really fast drying conditions, so a breeze and low humidity and sunshine. We just haven't had very much of that. So today I would say the soybean crop's pretty safe.
Safe today, and as long as it can take first priority for the harvest season. But not safe if harvest conditions force producers into the corn crop.
There's more concern that soybeans are going to be left in the field or deteriorate. Again, most people don't have a lot of experience with that. We haven't come to the middle of October with 10% of our soybean crop harvested, at least in my memory. So there's going to be some concern about that, but I'm fairly optimistic that soybeans can be taken out. Guys can move really fast with these combines, and they've certainly shown willingness before to cut tracks when they're harvesting soybeans, so I expect that's going to happen again.
Well, the secondary problem related to the late harvest season has to do with fall tillage and fertilizer applications. It is highly unlikely, says Emerson Napsiger, that field conditions will be appropriate for either operation this season. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. A quick, very quick check of how we're doing with our financial pledge drive for Illinois Public Media, the Closing Mark Report Ag Programming. Dave Dickey is here. Hi, Dave. How are things going?
Well, just grand. Mary Ann Tucker, the latest to say, I want to get into Dave's back pocket for $250. She's the 12th call we've gotten on this challenge thus far today. 29 calls to go, and Dave will put $250 into the Ag Kitty in support of agricultural programming at Illinois Public Media. 217-244-9455. You can make it happen. Get into Dave's back pocket now with your call of contribution of support.
That's right.
Yeah, easy for me to say. 217-244-9455, the number to call.
Dave will be back later. Thanks, Dave. On the line with us, take a look at the cash grain market on a Monday afternoon. Greg Johnson of the Andersons. Greg, update us. Are the lines starting to pile up there at your facility yet?
No, we had a big weekend of corn harvest. The beans weren't fit. The sun didn't come out till yesterday, and we were hoping to have some beans cut yesterday, but they were just a little too wet, 16, 17, 18%. But this afternoon, beans are running, and we should get another 2 days of clear weather before the rain comes through. So hopefully this will be a good bean week.
Yeah, corn harvest stopped, relatively speaking, because you don't have the drying charges discount, or what's happening on that point?
Yeah, in fact, we've had to limit. We didn't have the reduced drying over the weekend, but we got hammered with corn close to a half a million bushels over the weekend just in corn, and it was very wet. So our dryers are behind, so we've actually limited wet corn now to just till noon every day, but beans were open till 9 o'clock.
All right, and what are your bids on the afternoon?
Cash corn finishes at 376 for this week, 368 all fall, January 383. The beans are 986 for all fall and 995 for January.
Hey, thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson of the Andersons joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Two numbers we want you to remember. Remember this one first. We will post the USDA crop progress numbers in our voicemail this afternoon at about 3:15 at 217-333-3434. And we'd like you to post a little little money at this number, 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support to Illinois Public Media.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The shipment of more than 14,000 doses of H1N1, or swine flu vaccine, means Champaign-Urbana's public health district can start treating priority populations. That will start tomorrow as CUPH Day holds 4 days of clinics for children ages 6 months through 5 years. Administrator Julie Pride says the idea is protecting those first who are in daycare or a similar setting where they're around other young children. While those clinics take place, pregnant women and other preschool-age kids can receive shots through primary care physicians. Pride says the district hopes to have received enough additional vaccines to start its round of school immunizations next week. The clinics for 6 month to 5-year-olds can run from 10 to 7 tomorrow through Friday at the CUPHD offices. The district may hold an additional clinic or two for these children elsewhere in the county. Illinois' community college enrollment has hit record highs, with a school in Danville heading up statistics. More than 3,500 students are attending Danville Area Community College this fall, with full-time equivalent enrollment reaching 2,100. That's more than 30% over last fall's count, and DACC President Alice Marie Jacobs says many of these students, or one in three in the district, were honor students in high school. She says many of the instructors are taking on extra class sections to accommodate students. The school is also bringing in more instructors from outside the college. Parkland College in Champaign also saw its enrollment jump by 7% in full-time equivalent students. Preliminary autopsy results show that a Danville woman and her grandson likely both died of carbon monoxide intoxication in a Saturday evening house fire. Vermilion County Coroner Peggy Johnson says 71-year-old Mary Davis and 17-year-old Colin Sands both inhaled smoke and soot. Investigators with the Danville Fire Department are still seeking a cause. Alexi Janulius and Mark Kirk have large campaign chests in their race for U.S. Senator from Illinois. Janulius, the Democratic state treasurer, raised $1.1 million in the 3 months ending September 30th and had $2.4 million after spending $345,000. Republican Congressman Kirk had $2.3 million after raising $1.6 million during the period. He spent $351,000. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This is a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast for the day. Mark Russo joins us from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Okay, so we need to know Western Corn Belt, Eastern Corn Belt between now and Wednesday and the end of the week, I guess. How many dry days? And then in the Eastern Corn Belt, I want to know how much wind we're going to have, because that certainly helps dry things out, too.
Yeah, well, from a dry weather perspective, obviously today is one day. Tomorrow looks to be the case across the entire Midwest. And then for Wednesday, it will be day number three, at least for the Eastern Corn Belt, whereas the Western Corn Belt begins to see the entrance of some rain activity as the next storm system begins to move into the center of the country here. So, you know, another 2 days for the Eastern Corn Belt, another day and a half across the Western Corn Belt before more widespread rain activity moves in across the region. And then your question here about the Eastern Corn Belt, Todd. Certainly today's wind conditions here, we're looking at wind conditions right now in general 15 to 20 knots across much of the Midwest. That'll continue over the next couple of days, and if anything, even get a little bit stronger as that storm system approaches the region on Wednesday.
All right, and so we're looking at, 10 to 15 miles an hour winds, I think, out of the south to southwest at this point. Mm-hmm. And then later in the week, which direction are we? Is it coming out of the west? I assume it is. And
not the way that most people want it to come out here, with bringing in much cooler temperatures as the winds switch around to the northwest, even north here, by late in the week and over the upcoming weekend.
Well, that may be ugly. And then next week, what do we see?
Well, next week, actually, we see more of the same, Todd. We see additional storm systems tracking across the nation's midsection, let alone much of the U.S. We see another system early next week, followed by another system later on next week. The parade of storm systems continues here with no sign of any extended periods of dry weather. And by extended, we're talking about number of days greater than 5 or 6 days.
Oh, boy, that sounds ugly for us here in this nation. How about in South America? They're doing their planting season in Argentina and Brazil.
Yeah, the item of note across South America is actually very heavy rainfall across areas of southern Brazil, namely in the state of Paraná. We've seen totals in excess of 6-7 inches over the past week, and another similar round of totals is expected over the next week due to these clusters of heavy thunderstorms that will periodically develop across that region. So that is delaying some planting, more of a concern actually for winter wheat, delaying harvesting and increasing the risk of quality declines. And but outside of that zone there, South America is in pretty good shape. Northern Brazil is seeing decent rain activity, not enough to interfere with planting progress. And Argentina is seeing an improvement in soil moisture after generally dry conditions in the western area.
Hey, Mark, thanks so much.
You're welcome,
Todd. You have a good day. Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. If you haven't dialed the number, 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support just yet, please do so. It's awfully important that you do, whether you're listening to us on the public radio station or the commercial radio stations. The number to call, is 217-244-9455. Dave Dickey, a quick 10-second update.
Three more tips of the hat to Richard Kaler, to Brian Carlson, and to Robert Wright.
Thank you.